Okay, we are, I'm going to repeat, the Gemara is looking for the reasons of the Machlokes B'Shammai B'Sil. So yesterday we learned three, but I'm going to start with number three again. The first reason it was that people don't like, people will think, perception will be, when a girl does Mian after Nisuin, B'Shammai feels that the perception will be that there was a condition in the marriage, and we don't think there are any conditions once a person consummates a marriage, and therefore we said no Mian after Nisuin. Second reason was that people don't want women to walk out after the marriage. They'll feel like they did Znus. Therefore, they'll refrain from marrying Ktanas. And the whole purpose was that they should marry Ktanas, so therefore we don't allow it after Nisuin, and Beis Hillel is not concerned. Rapapa is the third reason. We will start again with Rapapa. He's about 15 lines to the bottom. The last word of the line is Amar. And the first word of the next line is Taima. Rapapa Amar Taima de Beshama Mishim Peri.
What page?
Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. About 15 lines to the bottom. It's exactly 15 lines to the bottom. Rebbe Amar, Taima de Beis Shammai Mishum Peri. The reason of Beis Shammai is because of financial interest of fruit. But Taima de Beis Hillel Mishum Peri. And Beis Hillel's reason is the same. They both look at the same set of circumstances with different eyeglasses. Taima de Beis Shammai Mishum Peri, the Amet Nisuin Tamoin, if the husband who marries the Ktana knows that his wife can walk out of him any time, so he says to himself, I'm in here for the short game. And therefore, Shamit V'achul Umina, he's going to eat as much fruit as he can, meaning get as much benefit he can from her property without doing any upkeep to improve it on a long term. He doesn't view his marriage as long term because she can always walk out. So in his own financial interest, which is his overriding interest, he will use up as much as he can of hers legally without investing a penny. So therefore, Shamat Mina, V'Ochel Mina. The same stuff, L'Mei Pekai Me, he's sitting in his mind, anyway, she's walking out on me, so I might as well chop her eye, and I might as well do as much as I can. That's Beis Shammai Svara.
She owns the goof, right?
Right.
So at any time, even if the marriage is good, whatever, she can sell the land, right?
No, she can't. She has a right of payers that block her from selling the land. She cannot sell the land. Well, Beis Hillel, Adarabba. Even the Amet Tamoy and Ashbucha Mashbuchu. And Beis Hillel says, this is an incentive for him to take care of her land. She'll say, I have a good husband. He cares about my things. And she won't walk out. Sabar, the Eli, if I don't care about her land, I still like quite the Malkalami. Now her relatives will say, this is not the guy you want to stay with. So each one says that the financial incentive pushes one way or the other way. Beis Shammai says financial incentive will push him to ruin her, not to ruin, but not to take care of her crops. And since we want her crops taken care of, we won't allow Mian. That way he knows he's in for a long time. Nobody, she can't walk out on him. This is like a regular wife, and she's stuck with him. Therefore, there's no reason he shouldn't take care of her fields. And Beis Hillel says the fear of Mian is an incentive for him to do better with her land, not to do worse with her land. It's how you look at it. You can make an argument both ways, and that's the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Yes?
Since we have these two opposing views, isn't the standard what typically would happen is that he takes care of it as an average?
See, again, they're sitting down and writing the Takana. Beis Shammai feels that they have to protect the girl's lands, and that's the way to do it, by not letting her do Mian. And Beis Hillel says, we have to protect the girl's lands, and the way to do it is by doing Mian. And therefore, each one has the set of takonis written in a different way.
I mean, in most cases, the husband's going to take care of the land like he would take care of his own land, not better than his own land.
That's not true. Why should he take care of the land as much as his own land? His own land is a long-term project. This land, in Beis Shammai's eyes, is very short term. She can walk out any day.
But he's got to worry about the relatives.
Again, Beis Shammai doesn't take that into consideration. You can look at this. We hear both Svaras. Beis Shammai heard one, Beis Hillel heard the other. Our job is not to vote, not that you are doing it, but our job is not to pick sides in the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. our job is to understand where they're coming from. Yes?
We had a concept in the context of conditions that engaging in this is make a husband, lead a husband or spouse to forgive any conditions once the marriage...
Because he doesn't want to engage in this. He's willing to forgo any conditions if he's going to consummate the marriage, correct?
I thought the commentary was not prior to, was afterwards. After Zeus.
No. The way it's understood is, if a person's entering to that phase of the relationship, he's actually having a physical relationship with her, he's giving up on all conditions. Because if conditions are still there, he understands that this can retroactively turn into an act of znus, and he doesn't want that to happen.
My mistake. I thought I remembered the commentary saying that actual feelings of intimacy would lead the couple to forgive each other.
That's the next case of chuppah.
So
by chuppah, we also say the person forgives it.
Okay, so
and there's no znus, because they're not engaging in any physical relationship. But they're becoming intimate, and a person views that, I'm not going to get intimate with her to that point of being under the chuppah with her, if intimate is the right word, and still have conditions. Not because it'll be a znus, but because I just don't want to have that kind of relationship with a woman unless it's for real. And since there's a condition, it's not for real.
And that wouldn't apply here when he marries a katana.
Well,
he's married a katana. He knows he's going to be intimate. Why would he still be only thinking about his financial gain at this point? Why wouldn't he be improving the life? Why isn't that a consideration in the analysis here? He's not out just to take everything he can from the land in case she takes it back, in case she goes back on the land.
See, I don't see the analogy between the two cases, and I'll explain to you why. Mr. A guy who's marrying a woman and made his own conditions, right? If he keeps his conditions, he can retroactively end up not being married to this woman. And therefore, having engaged either in a physical act or in a chuppah act with a woman that wasn't his wife, and he doesn't want to have that. Here, a guy is marrying a katana legally. This is a sanctioned marriage by this chazal. He's doing nothing wrong if she walks out. The first answer felt that he would feel like he did something wrong. Second answer felt he would feel like he did something wrong. This answer says he has no feelings of anything doing wrong. He's doing it exactly what Chazal told him he can do. He can marry her. It's legal. It's 100%. He won't. Nobody will ever look at him askance and say, how could you marry this girl? It ended up being not a marriage. That's Chazal's way of doing things. He's fine. So his question is, knowing she can walk out, what does that do to his taking care of her? Taking care of her possessions. That's what Meshav and Mesil are arguing about.
My misunderstanding was thinking that these feelings were caused by the fact of intimacy, not the manifestation of intimacy.
Yeah. Okay. Dr. Ashi. Mishum Peri, the third wide line. Mishum Peri, Shloyabsid Peris, Nixim Aluk. Ava Oris, Leslie Peri. Erison, there's no Peri. Savar, the Eloi, the Maiden Mashmicha, Nayaitzili Kreve, her relatives will tell her to get out. Back to the Gemara, answer number 4. Rava Amar, Hainu Tami de Beishamai, Sheinazim Terech Besuda Mavsida. Beishamai says, it's not right to a husband that he spends the money for the wedding, and it used to be in those days that the husband paid for the wedding. He spends that money, and she turns around and walks out. It's not right. We can't put a husband in that position, that he spends the money for a wedding, and a week later, she walks out and leaves him with the bill.
It's like a regular wedding.
He's going to make a wedding. He's marrying Diktana. He's going to be a big class of them. Right? He's going to be in La Malfa. I'm probably going to be in Lakewood. But it's, right? You can't do that. It's not right to the husband. We have to protect his financial interest and say, if you're going to spend that money, she's your wife, and she can't walk out. They're both happy. People like to be married. And he's willing to invest that money to have the fact that he's married. It might not last long, but at least he's a married man. and she's a married woman, and they're very happy with that. Even if it means him taking a chance with money, he's willing to do that. That's what Beis Hillel says. And therefore Beis Hillel says, we're not going to stop her from being Mamayan, even though it might end up that she causes him a huge financial loss. But he's willing to take the gamble, that way he's a married man. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Besudas Nesuin. People want money, I'm going to invest all that money in the wedding, and then she walks out. And Beis Hillel says, people don't worry about that, because they won't hold back, they'll invest the money in the wedding, hoping that she won't walk out, and happy that they're a married man, that they have a wife. That way they can wear a talus over their head, and they can feel like part of society.
But the purpose of him marrying her is to protect her.
Again, we want to encourage men to marry Kanis.
Do we, in this instance, need to encourage a party?
No. The party is what happens at weddings. That's not our encouragement. In those days, every wedding had a wedding party, paid for by the groom. That's what happened. Now, theoretically, we could say, when you marry Kanis, don't make a party. But that's... people made parties.
Even for Tzanas.
A chasana was a chasana. They had a caterer, and music, and pictures. Everything was there. And the guy invested his $25,000 to make a wedding. And then she walks out. Now, so what's going to happen is, when the guy says to himself, I'm going to marry this chasana, I'm investing $25,000, because if I don't make a wedding, the whole city will look at me and say, huh, you're not making a wedding? Right? So I have to make a wedding. I'll make the wedding, and then she can walk out of me. Why should I marry a Tana? I'll look for somebody older. They can't walk out of me. Nobody, again, we're not talking about people that are totally the same Shemayim here. We're talking about people, we want people to marry Tanas, and we want it to be in their self-interest. That way, they'll do it. You might have the tzaddik that will do it just to do the Ratzon Hashem and no self-interest. The regular average man marries a woman for self-interest. And when it's not self-interest, he's not marrying her. This is a opposite of incentive. What's the word in English? Decentive? This is a decentive to marrying Kanis. That's what Beis Shammai said. Here we want to provide an incentive, and instead we're providing a decentive. And Beis Hillel says, that's not how people think. People say, I'm married, I can wear my talus over my head, I'll get shlishi now, whatever it is, they'll let me daven for Amid Muslim Shabbos, whatever it is, I'm a married man. That's how people view it, and therefore they're willing to take that gamble, and it's not a decentive. Yes?
Why is the order of Rapapa and Rapa reversed?
I don't know. Bother me also.
Disincentive,
thank you. Who corrected you? Yankee? Okay, thank you. This is
it. Is it just by a girl's mother or brother marrying her off?
Well, if her father marries off, she can't walk out.
She can't be mine.
Right, so she's stuck. So he has nothing to worry about.
Is this what they normally did, marry off their daughters, even the father, before 12?
Yes.
That was a common thing.
It's common.
And the final question is, is this equally the desirous of both men and the women to get married? Because always we are about the woman wants to be married. And first time
women have a bigger desire than men to get married, but men also have a desire to get married. The reason, the riot is they do it. It's not why they're getting married.
Want to wear a talus over there?
No. They want to get married because they want to get married. The Gemara says that a woman wants marriage more than a man, because a woman feels protected, the man doesn't have to have marriage to protect himself. But, on the other hand, men must want to get married, if not they wouldn't do it. Bishamai Amr Babal, second case. Bishamai said she can only walk out of a husband, not from her yavam, meaning she Reuven married a Ketana, Midrabanon, rabbinically, Reuven died, and now she falls the Yibum rabbinically to Shimon. Beis Shammai says, there is no Mian allowed anymore. Mian was only made to the husband. And by the way, to Beis Shammai, not even a husband, only an Aris, only during Eris. Well, that's what he said. But Baal would like Abba. He just said that. That's exactly what I just.
If there's no brother, let's say. There's no brother.
Well, what's she doing me in for?
That's true. She's out of marriage.
She's out. Amar Rav Ishia. And Beisil said, she can be Mamayim Biyabba. Now we're going to have a Machlaikas here. We're going to have many Machlaikas. But the first Machlaikas is going to be, what is she doing me in? Meaning, her husband died. Rabbinically, there's a Chiyav of Yibum. Can she say, I don't want the Chiyav of Yibum? I'm out. Can she walk out of Yibum? Or is this only for Mimer? In case her husband's brother did a rabbinic kedushin to her, to his brother's rabbinic wife, then she can do miyun for that rabbinic kedushin. Let me try to explain. Reuven did kedushin. We're going in Beis Hillel now. Reuven did kedushin to a ktana. We'll call her Rachel, and Rachel was married to him, according to Beis Hillel, could be after Nisuin, and Reuven died, and obviously there were no children because Rachel was a Ketana. And there's a brother, Shimon. Beis Hillel says she can do Mion. What is her Mion in? So, you can learn it two ways. One Mandi Amet says, Mion only applies to an act of marriage. So therefore, you can do Mion to, if Shimon does a Mimer, a rabbinic Kedushin, she can then say, I don't want that rabbinic kedushin. But she cannot say, I don't want to have the bond to Shimon. The Gemara is going to ask why. But the Gemara says, she cannot say, I'm not bound to Shimon. You're automatically bound to Shimon. Reuven died, you're bound to Shimon. You can't walk out of that bind. You're going to have to let the Gemara do explaining. And one of the Amai says, it's not true. She can say, I'm out. I don't want to have the bond to Shimon. I'm out of here completely. I don't need Chalitza. I don't need Jibum. I'm out. This is the Machlokes we're going to have right now, and the Gemara will explain.
But for sure not Reuven.
Reuven's dead.
He can never do me into a dead person.
Well, that we're going to discuss. Amar Rav Ishia, b'mamenes l'maroi, v'ayna mamenes l'zikasai. If Shimon did a mimer, she can walk out of that mimer and revert back to being a Yavama. She's no longer rabbinically bound to Shimon. Let's say there's 10 brothers, right? Reuven died, he left 10 brothers, or 2 brothers, and one of them did Mimer, and she says, I don't want him. So fine. So now, Levi can still do Yibum. There's still a Zika. There's still a bond between her and her dead husband's brothers. Why? Why can't she walk out of rabbinic Zika like she walks out of rabbinic marriage? Dr. Gemar, Maimer demi daita matziakra. Maimer she agreed to. Anything she agreed to, she can remove. Zika de Balkorcha, the bond is not there because of her agreement. She agreed to marry Reuven. That created an automatic bond. Not that she agreed to that bond. She cannot remove what she didn't agree to. Why matziakra?
The assumption is that she would have stayed with Reuven.
No, there's no assumption to anything. There's no halakha of walking out of something she never had anything to do with.
But if she was had intention, she never did it, but she had intention of doing
it. Makes no difference.
During his life.
Okay. Mimer is done with her consent?
Yes.
What's the process?
Mimer does a kedushin to the Yavama.
So he has to hand her something she has to accept.
Yes. It's a machlokes tanoim, but we paskin Mimer has to be with her consent.
Does Mimer include physical relations?
No. Mimer is giving her a ring and saying, I am being mekadesh you as a Mimer.
And she has to say something.
Well, she accepts it. It's like any marriage when a woman accepts the ring.
But chalos is already there.
The chalos is not there. Mimer is a new chalos.
No, but the zika is already there.
So the zika is there. Rabbinically, they instituted Mimer, right? We learned about Mimer for about 30 blocks. Yeah, I mean, it felt like 30 blocks.
Mother and brothers have any say or any action?
Nothing.
They can't do it for her.
No.
We're just doing this because what it looks like a kedushin, that's all.
Right.
There's not really, there's no reason for
it. Yes, there is. He bars any other brother from doing anything.
But
by making Maimer, he knocks out all the brothers.
Right, meaning that there's nothing else he can do to stop someone else.
Well, he can give a get to stop someone else as well, but that's also rabbinic.
But he wants to marry her.
Exactly. He knocks everybody out of the picture.
Reverend Margretchen?
Yes.
I have a question. But he agreed to the initial marriage, and the Zeek is only because he agreed to the initial marriage. So why is
But at this
that,
point, it's out of her control. It's an automatic. Frack the Gemara. But the Gemara's going to work this out, so I think we should let the Gemara do its thing. Frack the Gemara. Bare Bia, the Balkarka, Umbatsim and my Akra. What if he does Yibum against her will? And by the way, Yavim can do that. And now she can walk out of his marriage. So even though it was done against her will, she never agreed, she has the right to walk out. Right? Basil said, my man is Yavim. So why shouldn't she be able to walk out before he does Bia? Zuck to Gemara. You got to give the Gemara a chance. Zuck to Gemara. Elabio maimed the hukavid matza akra. Zikid rachmanu ramallah le matza akra. And this is the Gemara's final svara in this Mandi Amar. Bia, maimer, kedushin is something a man does to a woman. The Torah said, not the Torah, Rabbanan said, any rabbinic act done by husband to wife, rabbinically, the wife can say, I'm out. The Zika was not something that was man-induced. It came about automatically. There's no right to walk out of an automatic. There's a right to walk out of an action, of a marriage, of an action. There's no right to walk out of something that wasn't done to her. She married Reuven. She can walk out on Reuven. Shimon does Yibum. She can walk out on Shimon. Shimon does Maimer. She can walk out on the Maimer. She can't walk out of something that wasn't done. Zika happened. The Rabbanan did not empower her to walk out of something that wasn't done to her. Not with their agreement, but wasn't an action done to her. Zika, Miyun is to walk out of something that happened to her. She married, she walks out. She had Yibum, she walks out. She had Maimer, she walked out. She didn't have Zika. Zika is there. Nobody did Zika. It happened on its own. Therefore, they didn't institute walking out of something that didn't happen to her. Yes?
Is there Zika Doraisa by a...
No. No. It's all rabbinic.
So, if it's only rabbinic, it's not like it's
they could have said there's Mia for Zika. But when, again, we're trying to figure out what they did. So, Revaishia says, when they said you can do Mian, they only did it to actions. That's how they wrote the law.
Even though it's rabbinic, completely rabbinic.
Totally rabbinic.
What do you mean? They set up their Mian, which is also rabbinic, with limitations.
Correct. Exactly. Rabbinically. Exactly. That's exactly what everybody means.
Well,
everybody means, again, if this is not a father's marrying her off.
A woman is mean to one brother. She can marry the other.
Oh, we have a whole half Amud coming on this.
He saw it last night.
No, not true. No. You mean Yav Makshana?
Drabana.
No, well, if the Kedushin was a Drabana. If her father can accept the Kedushin derives, he can do Yibum Takshana and derives them. Ula Amar Mima'enes Afuzikasai. Ula says she can nullify the Zika. How? My timer. Nisua Kamakoy Akra. When she does Mian, Reuven married her. Reuven died. She can say, I don't want to be married to Reuven. She can remove the marriage to Reuven after Reuven dies. Zika is a byproduct of her marriage to Reuven. If she can nullify the marriage to Reuven, she's no longer married to Reuven. not retroactive. Some want to say retroactive. It's a big machlokes. Again, is it like she was never married? Okay, it gets very complicated. There is a concept that from now on we consider like she was never married.
Point forward.
Right. Kind of Freya. It's complicated, so I'll just leave it alone. Let's say retroactive. I'll look better. It's easier to explain. Yes. Reuven's dead. But she now says, I walked out of Reuven's marriage. So she was never married to Reuven. She was never married to Reuven, so there's no Zika.
There's nothing he can prevent from me in any way, right? I mean, if a girl wants to do me in, there's nothing of Osmond
can
do.
Nothing that Osmond can do. Yeah, but he's dead now. You know what I mean?
Even during his lifetime, he couldn't prevent it, so for sure now he can't.
That's not true.
Why?
He's dead. How can you walk out of something?
He could have done when he's alive anyway.
Yeah.
How can you end a marriage that's already ended?
Exactly. Exactly. Corey said it best. How do you walk out of a marriage that doesn't exist? So then go come up with the tightness, you know what I mean? So fine.
You couldn't do anything halachically to keep her.
Again, bottom line is she's not married to him. How can you walk out of something that she's not, that's not happening?
Well, then, so you can see that
part. I can't walk out of a room if I'm outside the room.
There's still ramifications of that marriage. There's still something
again,
there.
But it's not okay. So,
fine. Lingering something because
okay. So you're walking out, but he's saying you're uprooting the original marriage
by doing what?
By saying Mian.
Her husband died. Her first husband died.
Yes.
And now she's changing the course of history.
I don't know. Every Mian changes the course of history.
In other words, what is she saying? That I wasn't married, or I could have been.
She's saying, I'm walking out of my husband. I'm not no longer married to my husband.
He died. How does
well, it's retroactive. That's how Baruch Meish explained it. That's the easiest explanation.
Rather than retroactive, how does she say...
So we'll say, I'm not going to get involved. We'll leave it at retroactive.
Is it a different way to look at it that she had her right of Mian until a certain age and his death had nothing to do with it? She had her power of Mian, regardless. It's not her issue that her guy died. She had the power until she turned a certain age. So she's going to exercise her power. It's not her fault that he died.
Okay. You can say it that way.
As opposed to
there's power. Three different ways of understanding it. There's three different ways. One understands it your way, one understands it Baruch Moshe's way, and Reb Chaim says the third way. That from now on, we view it as if she were never married. It's like a... view it from now as if it was retroactive. It's a kind of more complicated way, but it's Rashi. We have Rashi in the Amud Aleph. So try Shem Rabbi Yishim Memenis L'mamari. L'misil D'amri Memenis V'yabam. B'sil D'am says she can walk out of the Yabam L'mamari Memenis. She also B'maimer. If he did a Maimer, Memenis V'akras. So she said she could get L'mamari. She won't need a get. Aval Chalitza she b'shul zika l'yakra. But she'll still need Chalitza. The Balkarcha, Mekidusha Rishon, Mikayach Nesuan Ram Yaleh, Merishon Lemina, she didn't walk out on her husband. Rabia, Yavim Balkarcha, Yikramar Bava Yaventai, Yavava Yomelah Balkarcha, we allow Yibu to be done against her will. Umati Akra, so he said she could get Lemiasa, she doesn't need to get, she can walk out. Dami Beisil, my man is be Yavim, don't be the Baal. Beisil said she can walk out of the Yavim, and the, so one man the Amai says she can't uproot something that wasn't done to her. The other Mandiyama says she's removing her original marriage. Of Trashi, Nesuin Kamek Akra, and therefore Shuvain Khan Zika, there's no more Zika. Okay, so that's the Machloikas. What the power of Mian includes. The Machloikas, I'm a Roy in Beisil. In Beshamai, this is not Negeya. Beshamai says there is no Mian in the Yavam anyway. Period. Eisvei Rava Lula. Rava asked Ula a question. From the original Mishnah that we had in Masechtas Yevamos, Reuven married Shimon's daughter when she was a ketana, a rabbinic marriage. He also married a second wife. Right? Now, had he married Shimon's daughter biblically and married a second wife, right? When he dies, Let's take this back. Reuven marries Shimon's daughter rabbinically, because Shimon had already exercised the right to marry her off. We mentioned, I think, on Monday, that a father gets one right to marry his daughter off, and after she gets divorced, he no longer has a right to marry her off. So now, this daughter, her father had no rights over her. Reuven married her rabbinically to his brother's daughter. He also married a different wife, and then Reuven died. Shimon cannot do Yibum to his daughter, and therefore cannot do Yibum to the Tzaras Erva. That was the original Mishnah, that a Tzaras Erva has no Yibum and has no Chalitza. Mishnah says, but Shimon's daughter could do Mion. She could do Mion, right? But she didn't do Mion. So the Mishnah says, we can't say that the other wife goes free, because she's really not a Tzaras Erva. Because Shimon's daughter is only married rabbinically. We can't let her have Yibum, because there is a rabbinic marriage to Shimon's daughter. So we say that the other one gets Chalitza, not Yibum. That's what the Mishnah said on Beis Amid Beis. Reuven married Shimon's daughter, rabbinically. Shimon married her off once, and she got divorced. Once he used his right once, she no longer can have biblical marriage from her father. She can do a Rabbanadika marriage. So Reuven married Shimon's wife rabbinically.
Which allows me to her.
Right. And then he married a different woman, biblically. And now Reuven died. So Shimon, the other wife, is she a Tzaras Erva? Not biblically. Only rabbinically. And therefore, Chalitza not evil. That's the Mishnah on Beis Amid Beis. B'chol she'chaylu l'moin v'lo yivyena, t'sarasa chaylatzes v'lo yivyena. Anybody that can do me and didn't do it, by the time her husband died, she was still married to him. So her tzara gets chalitza not evil. But why can't you do me and now? Tell her, do me and now, retroactively to your husband. And then tzara can get chalitza yibum. Why are we saying that the tzara can't get yibum? It's a very simple solution. Walk over to Shimon's daughter and say, listen, your husband died. Do yourself a favor. Do your brother-in-law a favor. Your father a favor. Walk out of the marriage to your husband. Say you're mamayan. That means retroactively you were never married to him. That means your tzara is not a tzara zerva, and she can have yibum.
She be a derisa of the boy.
Correct.
Is she a derisa?
The second wife was a derisa. So according to the Mandiyamin, it says, you can't do Mion after the guy dies. So there's no solution. But according to Ula, it's a simple solution. Do Mion now.
Is there a statement? Why do we not allow
evil
in this case?
Because he's a
Tzaras
Erva rabbinically.
So is there? It's
because there's a Tzaras Erva. It's a Drabonadika Tzaras Erva. Not Zera. She is a Tzaras Erva rabbinically. Rabbinically, you're not allowed to marry her.
But once he dies,
she's still a Tzaras Erva.
Once she dies.
No,
because now that Drabonadika marriage gets dissolved automatically?
No different than a derisa marriage.
Why doesn't she automatically flip to a derisa?
I have no idea what you're asking. Reuven married Shimon's daughter biblically, and then Reuven died. Is the other woman a Tzaras Erva?
Yeah, because...
What do you mean? Reuven died. The marriage is gone. Yeah, let's not complicate matters. Let's stick to it. I mean, Zakti Gamar, am I? Tomorrow in Hashta, to Krinulun the Suik Kamoi. Let her do Yibum Mia now, and then she can uproot retroactive the Tisyabim Tarasa. Zakti Gamar, theoretically you're right, but we have a problem. And that is, at the time of Reuven's death, this looked like a Tzaras Erva. And therefore, even if she does Mion, we're not going to allow Yibum, because people will say that Tzaras Erva is Mutter. It's a rabbinic fear. If she walks out of the marriage now, you're right. She dissolved the marriage. It never happened. But people are going to say, hey, isn't this lady a Tzaras Erva? At the time of her husband's death, wasn't he married to a daughter of his brother? So it creates confusion. So they said, no, Yibam. Dr. Gemara, Tzaras Erva Shiny, the Tana Rami Baruch Esku, Mina Babao Mutaris Lavav. Interesting halacha. Forget Yibam for a second. Reuven marries a Ktana, rabbinically. The Ktana walks out of the marriage. Reuven's father wants to marry the Ktana now. It's his daughter's husband, it's his son's wife. No, it isn't. She walked out. She was never his son's wife. Therefore, he can marry her. His son lived with her, but she walked out. It was never his wife. You're not marrying your son's wife. Not your son's wife. Mutter. However, if that's because there was no mitzvah of Yibum, so people don't associate that he's marrying his son's wife. But when it comes to Yibum, people say, oh, when he died, wasn't he married to her? There's a bigger gzera. Liyavam Asur Lavav. She does miyun to the Yavam. Reuven was married to her. Reuven died. She was Mamayan and Shimon. She can't marry Shimon's father. Even though Reuven's father, Reuven and Shimon have the same father. She could have married him when she was Reuven's wife, but once there's Yibum involved, it looks like Erva. Alma, Shas Nefila Nirez Kekalasai. Because once there was a Yibum, people associated this as a daughter-in-law. They don't say it was never a marriage. Yibum creates perception more than marriage does. People can understand that marriage to a Ktana is not a marriage. But once they see Yibum, they see marriage, even though it's really no difference. And therefore, the Rabbanan are stricter in once Yibum is involved than they are if Yibum weren't involved. Let me just do Rashi. Oh, I tell you what, ask the question because there's very long Rashis, yes.
By a normal case of Yibum or something, if you don't do Yibum, you still have the mitzvah of Yibum.
Yes.
Here, we're saying she's the vato of the mitzvah of Yibum, but there's no mitzvah of Chalitza.
Well, she was never married to the first guy, so why is there mitzvah Chalitza?
She's being the vato of Kanase.
Again, it's all rabbinic. Told him she's a wife. She's not a wife. There's no mitzvah. Everything's rabbinic here. It was a rabbinic wife.
I understand. But we're trying to establish a deraisa in the tzara. We're trying to create a deraisa out of that tzara.
Correct. That's not a problem. Correct. Rashi. Dr. Rashi calls she choilimon, the parakama, bita ktana that is su lachiv, a bita ktana that's married to the brother, but like kibbul of your kedushin. And it wasn't the father to marry her off. And Rashi explains, because you see, avia tchila lachar, she had married her off, and this guy, she got divorced. Via saima b'chayav, this girl was called an orphan in the lifetime of her father, meaning she's independent, like an orphan, even though her father's alive. Via choilimon, v'lai mina, boyo meis, sarasu chaletzas. And? She's not considered a real tzaras abas, mishum tzaras erva. Hayo abas yichayel lemoin. Since she can do mian, ain't in the suing gemurim. That means it wasn't a biblical marriage. But loy misyabemes, she can't do yibum. Hayo v'loy mian abas, since she didn't do mian yet. She can't do Yibum because she didn't do me and have a Tzaras Erva b'miktas. It's a little bit of a Tzaras Erva. It's a rabbinic Tzaras Erva. And the question was, why do me or now? The answer is, Tzaras Erva shiny. I've got the Mahani Mi'un L'Ktana Yivam Ba'om L'Mepik B'Lei Chalitza. Even though it helps that when a woman does me or now, she doesn't need Chalitza. Lei Mahani L'Gabe Erva. It won't help for Erva. Imina Ba'viya Shu Yivamah. If she does mian to her father, who's her yavam, the mehavi tzarasim mutaris liyavam. it will not allow her tzara to have yibum. Why? The Tani Rami by Yecheskel. Tana Shemina Babal Mutaris Lanasi Le'aviv. A Tana that does mean that her husband is allowed to marry his father. The Christinul in the Suan, she uprooted her marriage to her son. For practical purposes, we look at it as an out-of-wedlock relationship, even though it was perfectly legal. But if she didn't do mian and her husband, do mian and be yavam, even though it takes away chalitza, she's uprooting her original marriage. Perception is that she is a daughter-in-law of the father. The Meshas Nefila, the Hani Nesui Kamoy, may become a Yibam, since as soon as the husband died, there was a rabbinic Zika, Ulatrichamiyan, the Gabi Yabam, nearest Kigalasa Shochamiyah. She looks more like a daughter-in-law. The fact that there was a Yibam in place makes her look more like a daughter-in-law. Hakanami, Abagab the Hakan Nesui Kamoy, Niras Sirasa Kitsaras Bitai, Hayo Bahani Nesui Yachim Bibita Lemirme Kamei, since the marriage helped that much. So basically what he's introducing is that there's a greater perception of a marriage once a Yibum, a Zika takes place, than if a Zika never took place. In people's eyes. I don't know why, but that's how people are. Right? Reuven dies? She does mean in Reuven? She marries Reuven's father? Nobody bats an eyelash. Everybody understands it wasn't a marriage. But if Reuven dies and she falls the Yibum to Shimon, and she does mean in Shimon, people say, oh, she had to do me and her shimma. That means there was a marriage. She better not marry the father. Why? That's how people perceive things. Marisayin creates fear of people violating halacha.
So other people follow suit?
Not in this case. They might take it to somewhere else and do the wrong thing. Correct.
No, they may tell somebody halacha, this is the halacha.
They might say Taras Erev is mutter, because I just saw this case where she walked out of the marriage, a mian, and they did yibum to her tzara.
So my sign is a get there.
Yes.
So it's not be a case of diplomacy anyway. There's not a say that.
No. Well, there is. But the right say is there's an say to be miyabim to tzara serva.
But she's, because she's still connected to her daughter, there's no say here, right?
Again, not to the daughter, but to the tzara there is.
So why don't we say capital?
Because the Rabbanan are afraid that people will say
zero.
Zero.
It seems like all these people are getting married without any authority there. You know what I mean? Any rub would stop it. You perceive it, so what?
All you need is two Adam to get married.
Once you get married, you would have someone investigate, make sure everything is 100%. Now we're saying, just get married and, I saw Tzoros Erva, I was in Yeshiva for 10 years, and Tzoros Erva is a prize, not a problem. I mean,
that's what happens. I once went to Rabbi Heineman, and I still remember I was a bacher, and I tried to argue with him that I don't have to do something. He told me he'd been learning for too long. Go back and look up the Mishnah Berurah who says that they have to do A and B. I was trying to use, all kinds of svaras based on my learning Gemara without looking up the halacha to make something okay. So he told me, it's very nice and dandy that you come up with all these svaras, but take a look at the halacha. So that's always.
Is that why you're making Milchan Marv? That's why you're starting?
No. I'm doing it so you should have what to talk about.
A lot of people were into it.
I'm not against it. I'm doing it, right?
What I'm trying to teach everyone is that one great Makshava creates so much beautiful things. I think people are coming to Milcha Mayra because of this.
No, I don't think so. I think they come to Milcha Mayra because they wanted to have Milcha Mayra. I can prove it to you. There are less people now at Milcha Mayra than there were last week. They changed the clock, so people can't come, right?
What is the repercussion if he does marry her? Now that he's over at Marisai, now what happens? Will they make him break it up?
Yes, because he violated rabbinic rule. They banned it rabbinically. Once it's banned, it's banned.
No, the marriage is not
chal. No, it is chal. You need to get.
They can't move away and live happily ever after.
They could, but they could do whatever they want, but they didn't. No, it's not. It's not a lie. No, it wouldn't be a mamzer. I don't think it would be a mamzer. Meaning nearest to Kalosa, I don't know. I don't think it would be there. I don't think. Maybe it would be a rabbinic. I don't know. I can't answer the question. So that's the Gemara Vayter. Now we get involved. Here's a lady. Her husband died. She was a ktana. Her husband died, and she was a ktana. And he left over two brothers. And she looked at one brother and said, "I don't want you. I don't want to marry you. I'm doing me and you." What does that do now as far as the other brother? Reuben died, left over two brothers, Shimon and Levi. She's a ktana. She goes to Shimon and says, "I don't want you. I'm doing me and you." How about Levi? Can Levi do Yibam now? Or do we say once she did me and one of the brothers, it's like a get? If Shimon would give her a get, it would preclude Yibam from Levi, rabbinically. She did me and Shimon. What does that do as far as Levi is concerned? What?
There's no Sarah and the father.
Again, Yibum is different. We went through this already. Forget about the father. This is Yibum.
There's
she
no mind.
Oh, she fell the Yibum. Everything's Rabbanon here. Okay. She walked over to one of the brothers and says, "I don't want you." Now, if one of the brothers had gone over and given her a get, a rabbinic get, Yibum would no longer be a possibility by any brother. Reuben dies, Shimon walks over to this girl and says, "I'm giving you a get." Levi can't do Yibam anymore. Here, Shimon did nothing. She walks over to Shimon and said, "I don't want you."
Is the question whether Vermeun actually severed the familial relationship with the brothers, taking her out?
I would reword it. Is the fact that she severed the familial relationship with one brother affect the other brothers?
I thought the question is whether she separated the entire family.
Does that automatically separate her from the entire family? Because if Shimon would give a get, it would affect the whole family. So if she does Mian, does that affect the whole family or not? What? No Mimer.
You can do Mian on a Zika?
That's what Ulu just said.
Oh, I love Mafreya then.
Right.
So then, I'm afraid you would say they were never married.
Right. But the bottom line is, if Shimon gave her a get, she would not be able to marry Levi. How about if she does Mian and Shimon?
What right?
Okay. So the question here is, she's not doing Mian in the Zika. She's doing Mian in Shimon's Zika, not in Levi's Zika.
It's a
teacher.
That's what she thinks.
Again, she's trying to sever the bond with Shimon, not with Levi.
But the question is, she's severing a Zika. If it works,
can she sever a partial Zika? Can she sever? I'm asking you. Can she sever a partial Zika?
No. Can I call my wife?
No.
All or nothing.
But this is what we're going to be discussing. We'll see everybody. Baruch Hashem again.